to page Kuf Ayin Hey. That's the page number. The page number is Kuf Ayin Hey. The halach is Kuf Pei Gimel. We're in the middle of discussing a person is put to shame. Kuf Pei Gimel. Echor hayim mitzayer es hachacham. There was a story that happened. A person gave tzar to a chacham. V'amru lechacham kama gadol av avoin oisor ish. This fellow who is embarrassing you and is causing you pain is a very great sinner. She mi tsa ercha aloy fish acha. He's causing you tsar for no good reason. Omar lohem hechacham. The chacham said to the people that came to defend him, Eini mafshioi, I don't blame him. There's nothing, he has not done anything against me. Ella avoino sai osuli. This is what he says. The reason why I'm suffering is because of my sins. It's not because of this fellow. So don't think anything about it. Amru, they said, mitzvah l'cha l'hanisha l'kaluloi. What are you talking about? This individual is embarrassing you. He is causing you tsar. And you're telling us that it's not him. It's your sins that are causing you tsar. It's ridiculous. The bottom line is, this fellow is an abuser, and you have an obligation to call the police. You have an obligation to do something to silence and to prevent this person from continuing to cause you tsar. Omalahem, im kain, if your logic is correct, take your logic to its extreme. I should call the police and tell them to arrest me. I should call the authorities and have myself arrested because I am the one that is the true cause of my suffering. If I were to punish and I were to curse the person that is responsible for the tsar, why should I stop at the person that has actually harmed me? He's just a pawn in the hands of Hashem. I am the original goyim of what has happened. I am the true cause. Shari Omar Hakosov, Ho Elokim Motza Es Avoin Avodecha. Now this is very, very fascinating. What he's about to say over here is now to interpret now the psukim of Yehuda and Yosef. What happened? Yosef went and gave a command to his servant. We assume it's referring to Menashe, that you should put my goblet in the backpack of Binyamin and send them off on their way, give them food, give them money, let them go, and they start traveling. And then after they start traveling, he sends a messenger to say to the brothers, to his brothers, that, someone, my goblet is missing, and you are all suspects. And come back, we want to search your backpacks. And Yehuda says, ridiculous, what kind of nonsense is this? We would even dare take something from your home. Look what we've done. We've already brought back. We had extra money. The first time we came down to Egypt, we found in our backpacks extra money and we brought that back. Look how honest we are. You think now we're going, we would steal something? It's ridiculous. No, we don't care. We want you to come back. We want to search you. And lo and behold, we know the story. They searched the backpacks and they found the goblet of Yosef. And Yosef says, ah, I found the culprit. Binyamin is the culprit. It was found in his backpack. So you know what? He will be my slave. And all of you other brothers, go home. Get lost. Go home. So Yehuda gets up. Vayigash, I love Yehuda, Vayomar. He gets up for a war. And Yehuda says, "Elokim motza es avoin avodecha." Now, what did Yehuda mean when he said these words? Go back to the story. Did Yehuda ever possibly entertain the thought that maybe really Binyamin stole the goblet? What happened over here? Did it ever happen? His mother stole the terafim. Binyamin's mother stole the terafim. Maybe it's in the midah of this family to steal. Here Yehuda is baffled. I cannot believe this. The goblet of Yosef, the viceroy to Egypt, is in the backpack of my brother Binyamin. What was going through his mind? We really don't know. We really don't know. You have to look at the Rishonim. You have to have a Messiah. We have to have a tradition to know exactly what was going through his mind. So he says a few words which open up a discussion. And of course, the words that he says is also subject to debate. But at least we have now the perush of the Sefer Chassidim. Hu Elokim, Matzo es Avoin Avodecha.
By the way, that story that the Gavia, I had another quote for that.
Which story?
The Gavia. The Gavia. He didn't mention Gavia. You stole the Gavia. He didn't say to them. He says, Where's Gavia?
Didn't say the word Gavia.
He said something else. Halose Asher
When he was sitting, he was making everything by the Gavia. Who is the Bechor? Who is the second man?
He says to them something completely different. Aloze asher ishte adonibo, you threw my adon to a pit. There was supposed to be water there. Behu nachesh inachesh bo.
Nachoshev yakrovim. So he's alluding.
He's
mimrames. Wow.
He's good.
What?
Except he didn't speak Hebrew.
Haborek ein by mayim. Haborek ein by mayim. Mayim ein by nechoshim v'yakrovim yeshua. So he's saying that they were nechoshim v'yakrovim. He was saying to them words to remind them. The language he used was a reminder of mechiras Yosef.
And that they was not the Torah.
They
didn't do anything. Know that they are getting gain from.
Let's see what it says. So therefore, what was going through the mind of Yosef? According to the Sefer Chassidim, he says the mind of Yehuda. He says as follows: These are the words that Yehuda uses to respond to the accusation. Hashem has found the sin of his servant. What does that mean exactly? Subject to interpretation. Along comes the Chassidim. Amar Yehuda, Boruli. This is how he understands. It is certain to me, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that my brother Binyamin did not steal your goblet. She'echad me'avodecha, I have no doubt in my mind, she'echad me'avodecha sam ha'goviya be'am tachtoi. One of your servants, we've been set up. Someone went either on your command, or maybe someone else's command, someone's making trouble here. Binyamin did not steal your goblet. So why then are we subject to this humiliation, this accusation, this suffering? Elo avoineinu goram shebo lanu hatzar. We have committed an avera, and our avera is why we are now suffering this situation. It's not, so therefore the true cause of our suffering is our sins. L'chein, this is the way he interprets, Sefer Chassidim is coming over here to learn Musar, an incredible Musar Haskel from Yehuda, that you would not necessarily know. That if a person in this world discovers that he is suffering, he should understand the people who are causing him the suffering, they're irrelevant. They are not the primary causes of your suffering. Suffering comes because of our sins. Those people just happen to be Hashem's representatives to bring about the suffering. Now, yes, very good. Wait. One thing at a time. Slow. Hold off. Before we get to the Holocaust, hold off. Let's first see. We'll go back to what he says over here. He starts off with a very bizarre story. There was a chacham, a regular fellow, and he was under attack. There was someone that was abusing him. Whether he was stealing his money, whether he was harassing him verbally, whether he was physically causing him harm. He was a victim. This fellow was a victim from an abuser. And the people in the community said, call the police. And what happened? He decides, okay, it's fine. Thank you very much. Okay. And what happened? He decided, no. The person that's attacking me is not the cause of my problem. I am the cause of my problems. I have done a sin. If I am going to call the police, I'm going to call the police for myself. That's what he said. Now, this is a story from 800 years ago. Could you imagine today someone saying something like this? It's impossible. Impossible. Even if a person would say something like this, it's not acceptable. We would call the police anyway, because we live in a very real world. That's not why we're learning Sefer Hasidim. Sefer Hasidim is the message that it says is there. It speaks to our moral conscience. It's true. There's no shadow of a doubt. We're going to be on the phone in a second, calling the police to have this person apprehended, and he's going to be tried. He's going to be held 100% accountable for his harassment and his abuse. But yet, when the day is over, a religious Jew has to recognize that the real cause of this whole episode, even though the fellow may be locked up in jail and v'chulu v'chulu, is it's our sins that have brought this about. That's very dangerous also, because we don't know what our sins are. We don't have a Navi amongst us. We don't have people amongst us that are able to understand us, that can tell us what exactly we did wrong. Yet, it does demand of us a emunah pshuta of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to recognize there is room within our perfect beings to do better, to be better people, to be mechazik ourselves in many inyanim, to be better.
A person should always have that in the back of his
Of course, mind. Exactly, exactly. In this Maisa, he went to an extreme by telling other people, don't even call the police. Because if you're going to call the police, only one person you should call the police for, that's for me. This is unacceptable, unacceptable. However, the message that you just said is that, still in all, you have to make a cheshbon nefesh. Today, when you're on the news, you ever hear, this is very relevant. On the news, there's always a Rahman al-Sam, there are stories where Jews are under attacked, anti-Semitism, or there is accusations that are made. Lav Dafka, let's talk about those cases. The accusations are made. And right away, the media, right away, we get up, Baruch Hashem, we are obligated to defend ourselves, to fight back. You have to fight back. You don't let someone step on you. You fight back, and the perpetrator has to be brought to justice to the full extent of the law. Every resource within society that is available to prosecute, to apprehend, to hold accountable a person who is guilty, we take advantage of to the full extent. But there's a danger, and it has to be done, a given. But guess what? It's not over. Is that, how did this happen? If you're a religious Orthodox Jew, you are required, your religion teaches you to make a cheshbon ha-nefesh. The perpetrator, the harasser, may be locked up in prison, but how did this happen? How did this whole thing come about? It's umipnei chato'enu. Now, what sin did I do? What did I possibly do in this world that I deserve this? What did I do? Go check my records. Go check my bank account. Go check everything that I've done my entire life. I cannot, at being a cheshbon hanefesh, cannot find I've done something that I deserved that this should happen. That this should happen to me. It's very difficult. It's very challenging. But yet, the truth is, every person knows deep down where in life he needs improvement. And every person is different. Some people need it in this area, some need it in that area. Everyone knows that when something happens, even though there's no way in our day and age, in Golus, in Hester Parnim, you can connect the dots and you can say why, when, where, how. But everyone knows that it's a wake-up call that in those areas that you do know that you're weak and you can use a little improvement, you should get with the program and step up to the plate. That's one issue. The other issue is, which makes it very difficult, is that all may be very fine and nice for you, but when you look at someone else, then you have to keep your mouth shut. Right? You see someone as a victim, a Jew as a victim of a crime, and he's in the news on the front paper. So, right away, we're going to find the criminal, the police are on the case, and all the askanim, we're going to get that person. But then, you're a religious person. Okay, they got him. He's in jail. Everything is... What did he do? What avera did that person do that he deserved it? That is the biggest avera you can possibly do. If it's yourself, you're obligated to say to yourself, what avera did I do? And if I can, and the truth is, you're not going to find an avera that you deserve this, because it doesn't happen to anyone else. You're not any different than anyone else, so why do I deserve it? No one else deserves it. So you're not going to find an answer. That's very challenging. But it's definitely a wake-up call that areas in your life where you need mechazek, you have to be mechazek. But don't dare cross the line to have an attitude towards someone else. For yourself, you keep it to yourself. If it happened to him, none of my business. It's none of my business. The only business that I have is to make sure that the criminal is apprehended and is prosecuted. I'm not here to make a cheshbon hanefesh for him, unless it affects me also, unless it affects the community. Okay, if a crime happens and the whole community is shaken up, that's a really different story. Then you know, it affects you as well. But something that is just personal, happens to be in the news, a person was a victim of a crime, and it doesn't really affect anyone else, mind your own business. You have to apprehend the criminal. All of these things coming together are extremely difficult to go and to balance everything together is an extremely difficult thing, but it's something you cannot forget to learn, that the moral conscience of a person has to recognize that nothing happens in this world by accident. Everything's by hashgacha pratis. And the benefit we have here is that the Sefer Chassidim is showing us that this is exactly the simple perush hamilos of a pasuk in Chumash, Hu Elokim Matza Es Avoin Avodecha. Don't translate these words. If you want, if you... One second. Yeah, I'm in the middle of a thought. When I finish the thought, then you can speak. Okay? It's not fear. It's not fear, not just to me. It's not fear to everyone here in the room.
When you talk, everybody is asking.
Holokim Matza Es Avoin Avodecha could mean what? Could mean, that's right, the sin of your servant Binyamin, that he was caught. Elokim, by the way, Elokim also can mean authority. Elokim doesn't only mean in Chazal Hashem. Elokim also can mean the authorities. The police caught the criminal. Yeah. Who is the criminal? Binyamin. If you really want to read the pasuk by translating, that Yehuda was presented with the evidence. Look, we found the goblet in your brother's backpack. So he says, "Hu Elokim," the police. Elokim in Chazal often means the authority. It doesn't not necessarily mean the Ribbono Shel Olam. We use it in reference to the ultimate authority, but literally it means in many places, Ad Elohim Yavo Dvar Shneim. There's a dispute, a legal dispute. You go to the court. The court is called Elohim. Hu Elokim. The authorities, Motza, have discovered, Esavon, the sin, the crime, Avodecha, of your servant, namely, Binyamin. Okay? We're in trouble. And we the psukim. They go back, and Yehuda doesn't deny it. And Yehuda just says, okay, listen, you got him. You know what? Let's make an exchange. There was a crime was committed. Someone has to pay the price of the crime. You know what? Take me instead. I'm the leader of this group. I'm better than Binyamin. I'm stronger. I'm smarter. I'm more powerful. You'll have a much better time. It'll be a much better payment for the crime. Take me than take my brother Binyamin. Because if you take my brother Binyamin, my father's going to die. So take me instead. And I'm also I'm the moral leader of the group. So I'm really responsible for his indiscretion. Okay, you can make a very, very powerful argument why I deserve to suffer, not Binyamin. He's a little kid, Binyamin. What do you want? It's the parents. When the child doesn't behave well, who do you blame? You blame the parents, because the parents did not give the child chinuch. So you can't blame Binyamin. It's not his fault. It's my fault. I'm the counselor here for the group. I'm responsible. You can read, if you so wish, the psukim in such a way where you're not going to learn this lesson. Along comes the Sefer Chassidim, and he says, you know, that's not the way you read the pasuk. That's incorrect. the pasuk, the mesora of the pasuk is who Elokim is kodesh. Elokim means ribayne shalaylam. Matzah has discovered avoin avodecha. Avodecha is now referring to Binyamin, referring to me. I am avodecha, your servant. Your servant, he's referring to himself, and he's saying, Hashem has found me guilty. He wants me to have this agmas nefesh because I've committed a sin in my life. What that sin is, I got to think about it. I have to make a cheshbon hanefesh to discover what my sin is. But did I commit the crime? Definitely not. That's irrelevant. It's irrelevant if I committed the crime or not. What's relevant is, I am a choyte. This is the way the Sefer Chassidim learned Pshat in the Pasuk, and he brings a story from 800 years ago where there's another fellow who lived a life with this interpretation to the degree that he told people, don't call the police. Today, obviously, we're not holding in these levels, but the message and the Musar has never been more relevant than today. Because we need it, because today, since we are going to call the police, and in the media, the only thing that counts is accountability and justice for the criminal. We forget about, you know, it's time to make a cheshbon hanefesh. Okay, you talk about the Holocaust. Okay, is there any person not in their right minds that's going to say, oh, you don't have to go and punish the Nazis. Let them get away with it. It's Elokim Motzos Avoyin Avodecha. You gotta be beyond retarded to say such a thing. Okay? But yet, even though we demand to the full extent of the law, whatever is possible, justice, but you cannot deny the fact. There has to be a cheshbon hanefesh. The most problem is, what in the world could Klal Yisrael have done that they deserved such a horror? It's unprecedented in world history. It's unfathomable the suffering and the pain. What has happened? What could they have possibly done that this happened to us? And there is no answer. There is no answer. But just because there is no answer doesn't mean that it's not a wake-up call that we have to pay attention. We have to pay attention to our obligations in this world to do what is toiv and yosher. And all this coming together, obviously, and I don't have to tell you, is all dvarim pshutim ad moed, is a very, very delicate balance of where, of being able to synthesize contradictory ideas. We hold the person accountable. We don't know why we didn't do anything to deserve this. Yet we still have to make a cheshbon nefesh and strive to be better and try to discover lessons in the Holocaust to use as a springboard to be better in the future without doing more harm than good in trying to find lessons. Now you want to go find lessons, right? So you're gonna find a chesaron. There was a problem that existed in the time that before the Holocaust. There was an issue. You know, so just because there was an issue, don't go use that as a springboard to go and to make more enemies, to speak more lashon hara, and to do more averos by creating more sinas chinam. It's a very complicated mix. It's too complicated almost. Okay, if you go and you want to go look to make a cheshbon hanefesh, you're going to go study the times, and you're going to find problems. So just because you're going to find problems, you don't have a right to say that's the reason why it happened. There's something to learn from that, but it doesn't mean you would have been any different had you been living during those times. Who says it's just too complicated, the whole thing. Yet, even though it's too complicated, we have a duty, at least to the best that you can do, is to deal with all of these issues in a responsible way and strive to be a better person. Let's go further. He wanted to say something? Yes. Now's the time to say it.
Both Yehuda and Yosef did know that Binyamin was not in Mechirat Yosef.
Okay.
And here, the person is going to suffer and have more pain, Binyamin, because when they told Yosef told that me shinimsa gavia biado yeli ave batem lishalom ila bechem. He was suffering more than other brothers.
Okay, well, let me ask you a question back in response. At this point in time, the brothers did not relate that their suffering is because of Mechiras Yosef. At this point in time, pretty much, they still were still in their minds were convinced that they did the right thing by selling
but,
Yosef.
But I say both these two. No.
So just because Binyamin,
Binyamin
was not involved, we're not yet up to the Mechiras. The Mechiras Yosef only comes into play Ani Yosef. It didn't happen yet.
I know.
It was percolating in their minds, maybe. But at this point in time, when they sold Yosef, they made a conscious decision that he's a roidef, he has to be sold. There was no charata. 22 years passed, there was no charata. So just because Yosef was not part of the mechira, is not a factor, Binyamin was not part of the mechira, was not yet a factor in their minds to understand why this has happened to them.
Binyamin is not in this scenario.
Why not?
Wasn't, because he was at home. He was not.
He's in front of them right now. He's with them right now.
But Yosef should say to put the gavia in the amtachat Binyamin, Levi, Shimon, or Yehuda. What Yosef?
Maybe Binyamin didn't have it. Maybe Binyamin. At this moment in time, their suffering has nothing to do with Mechiras Yosef.
You say that Avoyim was there.
Mechiras Yosef.
It doesn't say what.
Mechiras Yosef is not a factor yet.
But Yehuda had
we have to go further. We have to finish. Let's finish this halacha. Lochein. Lochein now. Kishakilel l'shimiyas David. Okay, let's finish up. Okay, Rabbi Yisai, let's go right there. David was running for his life. Rabbi Yisai, David was running for his life from Avshalom. His son Avshalom rebelled. His son wanted to kill his own father. He took the malchus for himself. Okay, such a horrible thing. He wanted to kill his own father. So David had to run, to abandon the palace, run for his life. As he was running for his life, he met Shimi ben Gera. And Shimi ben Gera saw David running for his life, and he said to David, David, good for you. You're finally getting what you deserved. Why did Shimon Gera insult, and he actually cursed him? He cursed David, good for you, because Shimon Gera was related to Shaul, and there was always this bad feeling between the family of Shaul and the family of David, with the exception of Yonasan, because the Malchus belonged to Shaul. Shmuel anointed Shaul as the Melech. So what are you, David, doing acting as the Melech? The Malchus is not in your family. The Malchus belongs to the family of Shaul. So when Shimon ben Gera saw David running for his life, he cursed him and said to him, good for you, because you don't deserve to have the Malchus anyway. So Amar, let's see over here, Lachen Kishakilo Shimi David, Amar David, David said, so David didn't flee alone, he had men. And loyal servants. So the people said, David, you let this man curse you. You're the Melech. Someone who curses the Melech, it's treason. It's murder malchus. We'll kill him. So David said, no, do not kill him. Omar David, hanichu loy v'yikalel, let him curse me. Ki Omar loy Hashem, because Hashem told him to do so. Really, Hashem told him to do so. So the Sefer Chassidim is coming to interpret this in exactly the same way. Va'avoni goram. It means it's me Hashem yotza hadavar. He's just a pawn. Hashem is angry at me. I have done an avera. Hashem has a complaint against me, and Hashem over here is using this fellow as just his instrument in order to curse me. It's not him. It's not the person. It's Hashem. If I want to curse someone, I'll curse myself. If I want to punish, I'll punish myself because I'm the cause of all of this tsar. Im loy hayisi chayte, loy ba, this whole event, this whole sequence of events would not have happened. What happened? Bo amloim lishkav im tamar, all of my tsars of my life only came because of my sins. My son, the half-brother and half-sister, there was a mice, he raped her. Amnon lishkav im tamar, that was a very big disgrace for David. When Amnon, he raped Tamar, v'lohoy avsholim murid ba'aviv, v'shoichevim v'she'aviv, and to live with his father's wives. Therefore, don't go and take out your anger on the perpetrator. They're nothing but a pawn in Hashem's hands. Lefichok, now he quotes Pasuk in Eicha, ma yis'oinein odom chai. What should a person complain about? Just because someone is beating you up, someone is harassing you, don't complain to the person. Don't call the police. Why should a living person complain that he's being a victim of a crime? Gever al chatov. You should be a master over your sins. You should... What?
Why does David HaMelech leave instructions with Shlomo to knock off those people?
So later, he's still mechuyev. All right, not at this point. He's saying very good, but not at this time. Now, today you do that preemptively. You'll do preemptively, but not right. It came a point in time where he has to, as a king, he's responsible. He's responsible to eliminate the troublemakers. You are correct that this is not relevant. This is not, we said it already five times, this is not a practical halacha. But there is a moral lesson that is timeless. David, on his level, said, he was a very religious person, and on his exalted level, he said, Hashem is speaking to me, he's just an instrument of Hashem. There's no need for me to let out my anger at him. If I am going to let out my anger at this person, it's my way of saying that I didn't do any averos. I didn't do any sins. I'm a tzaddik. And therefore, I have to prove to myself that I'm not a tzaddik, that I'm a sinner, by adarabah, not touching and not harming the perpetrator. By harming the perpetrator, I am basically showing I'm a tzaddik. You're the guilty person. I'm not the guilty person. This is an exalted level of emunah, which is not for us, obviously.
Wait a minute, but in that way, no one could ever curse the king. You could curse the king and never get punished.
He was able in this particular instance to do this, you're right, because he was not an acting melech. He was on the run.
Right.
That's why. Ordinarily, David would have a very hard dilemma. Ordinarily, if David is sitting, everything is secure, and someone curses him. So David has to say, it's not him. If I'm a religious person, I have to acknowledge that it's my sins that have caused this. And if I'm going to go and take revenge, that's a lack of faith. I'm saying to myself, I'm a tzaddik. But yet, I have a duty as a king. The laws of Malchus demand that he be killed, because that's what the laws of Malchus are. So in those situations, David does not have the option of not killing the person, because he's the melech. Here he had the luxury of being able to use this as a musar seder, because he was not fully any longer a king. If he's on the run, running for his life, his Malchus at this moment in time has been suspended to a degree. It's like I wish someone who had a 50th wedding anniversary, I said to him, Mazel Tov, 50 years. So he says to me, you don't understand the Mazel Tov. You're giving me a Mazel Tov for 50 years, wedding anniversary? The Mazel Tov is, they were 50 consecutive years. Not just 50 years. David's Malchus was not consecutive. There was a break. When he was running away from Avshalom, he wasn't a melech. So, I'm not a melech. So the laws of Malchus do not demand now that I go and I kill this, even though I can get away with it. But I want to prove to myself on my exalted level of spirituality that it's my averos that have brought about this sin. Look, the Ramban says, you're not allowed to go to a doctor. Okay, the Ramban says if a person is sick, what should you do? No matter what illness you have, doesn't make a difference. The Ramban says you daven to Hashem. I don't remember the whole Ramban, but the Ramban basically says that a person who's on an exalted level of spirituality, what is this? You go, a doctor heals? Doctor heals? Okay, is there any one sane person in today's world that will rely upon the Ramban and not go to a doctor? He's not well? Something that's not going to get better by itself? Okay, we're not. But the Ramban is teaching us is that ideally there are levels of holiness of where Hashem is in control. If a person is sick, Hashem is speaking to you. Hashem has made you ill. Hashem can heal you. Is that practical today? Zero. Absolutely not. Is there a message in that halacha for us today? 100%. Even though we go to the doctor, even though we do everything is possibly you can possibly do to the nth degree, to go to the best doctors. Rav Hutner always would tell people, you go to the best doctors. Don't look to go to the mediocre doctors. You go to the best of the best. What do you mean, emuna? Emuna, if you have emuna in Hashem, you don't have to go to the best. You go to a doctor that's good enough, has a good reputation. Good reputation. He says, no, that's not a shtadlus. A shtadlus says you go to the best. And that's not a contradiction to having emuna. Emuna is, that's right, Hashem is speaking to me, I have to be mispalo. But Hishtadlus demands that you go for the best. Okay, it's not a contradiction. It sounds like a contradiction, but it's not. These are all version. Let's say one more halacha. One more halacha. Shloisha einam nodohim ella b'shloisha devarim. There are three midos that only are known by being tested. We discussed this yesterday. To be certified, you have to be tested. No one's anav v'shas kaso. We learned yesterday the Sefer Chassidim is a unique translation for the word anav, a humble person. A humble person means you are publicly disgraced and you're cool. You don't respond. So here's repeating that. To be a certified anav, you have to be b'shas kaso at the time of your anger, which means over here at a time when you should get angry. If someone gets up in public and is mevazayu berabim, and reveals all of these dirty, dirty secrets about you, and you ordinarily would get fuming mad, and you're able to control yourself, you now have proven yourself to be an onuf. Until that happens, you cannot say about yourself as an onuf. Okay, this guy, he's such a humble person. Who says? Just because he walks around with his head in head down, that does not make a person anav. An anav is only if you've been tested. You have to be a bechina. There has to be a shas of kas, and the person handles it with dignity. Oh, now we can say about him, he is an anav. Moshe Rabbeinu told us yesterday, you have to go back and reanalyze Chumash. Moshe was challenged by Klal Yisrael numerous times, and he kept his cool. That's why Moshe leikam ki Moshe ve'ish Moshe onav me'oid. Mikol ha'adam asher, but it goes back his whole life. Mikol, but it goes back on his entire life. Onav me'oid. Okay, later he lost it. At one point he lost it, but even what he lost, relative, a regular person would not have survived the day. The challenges that Moshe went up against and the insults that he went up against and he just accepted it, no human being in the entire world could survive the type of pressure that Moshe was under and keep his cool. Many have to go through the entire to appreciate the anivus of Moshe, anav me'oid mikol ha'adam ashal pnei ha'adamah. The degree of attack that he was up against, and he did not lose his cool, establishes Moshe as the ultimate anav. Then his next thing is the hagibar b'muchama. You're not called a gibar until you go to war. You go to war and you come back alive, and you come back as a hero. Person, this is just a very, very, very smart, sophisticated general, and he stays home in a bunker. And he tells his army what to do. If he has not himself gone onto the front lines and experienced warfare and come back alive as a gibar, you cannot give him a title of a gibar. V'ho'ohev v'shas hatzarech. You say he's a good friend. Yeah, prove it to me. This guy's a good friend. Oh, he's a very good person. Yeah, prove it. Prove it. The proof is in the pudding. You know how I know it? Because when I didn't have a penny to my name, he supported me. I didn't have a job, he gave me a job. I didn't have this. It comes with proof. It's not just theory is not enough in these three worlds. The Sefer Chassidim, for whatever reason, specifies three examples. Anivus, Givura, and Ahava. You cannot just say about a person they have these midos unless they prove it through action. It's a different thing. That's his nikkur. It's his nikkur. He drinks too much and things come out.
He wasn't involved.